Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Give thanks to the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. For his good key is above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, his love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, his love endures forever. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise. Sing praise forever. Forever God is faithful. Forever God is strong. From the rising to the setting sun, his love endures forever. And by the grace of God, we carry on. His love endures forever. Let's sing praise, sing praise. Sing praise, sing praise, sing praise. Love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. His love endures forever. Forever and ever. Forever. Let us come to Jesus, refocus on Him. He is a great, great God. If you can sing with us. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of Your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the again. We fall down, we let our crowns at the feet. the greatness of your mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy. Holy, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, 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 is the Lamb. We cry, holy, holy, and we cry.
Hello, everyone. Is that working now? Faces of concern out there. Good morning, and welcome to Laity Sunday. This is the day where church service is presented by the congregation, by the laity, where we all learn just how difficult this is. it's like Church Staff Appreciation Day. Please join us today after worship. We have a couple things going on that I want to mention. There is the United Methodist Women Boutique and Bake Sale that is in the social hall. And also in the social hall is the luncheon honoring the laity. So after we make it through this, we are rewarded with luncheon. If you need something during worship, please see an usher. They're usually located in the back there, and ask them any questions, how to locate things. And if you need an exit, there is one clearly marked back there, and there is also to the sides in the corners. And now, will you please join us in singing our first hymn in the Black Hymnals, number 2100, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
Gracious God, we enter your presence to remember and rejoice. Cover us with your love that we may put on the protection of your steadfast faithfulness. Guide us with your love that we may seek reconciliation with true repentance and genuine forgiveness. Bring us ever closer to you this morning that we may be gathered in your name, welcomed in your presence, and filled with joy of your steadfast love and hope. With gratitude and remembrance of your mighty gifts, we pray, Lord, please help to have the faith of a child that I can live with expectations, always looking forward to what you will do next. Amen.
Please open your bulletins and join me in the call to worship. Servants of God, lift up your heads.
And the Lord of life may behold our eyes.
Servants of God, lift up your hands.
And the Lord of life may bless our works.
Servants of God, lift up your hearts. The Lord of life will abide within.
I have a loud voice, but I like the loud mic, so everybody could hear me. All right. Guys, today, I'm going to be a queen. So what do you think I'm going to ask you to do?
I don't know.
No? What do you?
Get coffee.
Yeah, for me? Okay. All right, that's a good guess. What do you think I'm going to ask you to do?
Get iced tea.
Iced tea. Okay, I want you first to imagine a queen who doesn't have any servants, and instead she acts as the servant or the assistant or the guide for all of the people in her kingdom, queendom. Can you imagine that? Yeah? Yeah? Can you imagine that she's the one that does all the work? You're like, yeah, I trust you. All right. So instead of making you do things for me, I would ask you what you need. I'd ask you things like, do you need help with your homework? Do you want me to push you on the spinner? Do you want me to make your lunch? I'm here to help you. So, kind of unusual. That's not how we see queens on TV or even the princesses in movies and stuff, right? Do we see it like that? I love how you make eye contact with me. This is fabulous, all right? But it's pretty great thinking about this queen that will do all these things for her people. And in the scripture reading today, Jesus reminds us that he was put on earth and in our hearts to serve us. Did you guys know that Jesus is called the King of Kings? The King? You only know that because I've been talking about that at home. So he is the king who serves his people. And because the best leaders are the ones that care about all the people and want to do what's best for them, not themselves. Their people, not themselves. So do you guys want to learn how to be the king and queens of your homes? Yeah? Yeah? Good, because you're going to. I have a list. All right, this list has family contributions, and it has just a big old list of things that you're totally capable of doing. But I want you to take it home. It's things like making your bed and clearing the table. They're not chores, because that sounds like something that you wouldn't want to do. But instead, these are ways that you could be helping and serving your families. So take this list home and ask your grown-ups to pick a couple that they could really use your help with. And then what? Yes, I love you. Then do them. Do them. Help your family, and then you are on your way to being a great leader. Don't you want to hear me? See if mom picks out the trash. Maybe she won't pick that one. Here at church, we give you guys opportunities to do things to help other people all the time. We make sandwiches and care kits for the homeless. We make Discovery Arts boxes for kids in hospitals. We make Easter baskets for kids in shelters. But there are so many ways that you can be kings and queens every day, and it starts at home. I'm also going to give you a sheet, and I can make you more copies. You know what? Do you want me to give them the ash? There's three for your family. There's one for you. They're all different. There's 31 things on there you can color. And so every day that you contribute at home, you can color in a different section on your coloring sheet. And then it sort of documents, it tracks how much you've been able to contribute. All right? So you ready to go become kings and queens? All right. Off you go. Thank you. Do you want to borrow one?
Now please open in your Faith We Sing to number 2175, Together We Serve.
It is a truth universally acknowledged that a church in search of ministry must necessarily attend to budgeting needs at least once a year. It's budget season, amongst other things, at this church, and your part in that is to consider what your financial contributions are to the church for 2019. To that end, we have these pledge cards that are in the pews, and our theme this year is Building Blocks for a Strong Foundation. So take a little time between now and November 18th, which is Loyalty Sunday, to think about your financial stewardship of this church. We also offer electronic giving options, and there are cards to that end in the pew backs. So I'll ask the ushers to please come forward and collect our offering. Dear Lord, please accept these gifts of financial materials and our gifts of service and faith in furtherance of your ministry. Amen.
Good morning. Let us pray. O teacher, we dare not make demands of you. Unlike James and John, we do not claim the honor of sitting beside you in glory. We ask only that you make our hearts the seat of your presence, that we might serve your purpose as zealously as we have served our own. O God, who shows us how to serve through the service of Jesus Christ, look upon us with understanding. We've dedicated ourselves to the service of folly, and finally, in the noontide of our foolishness, we have the gall to ask with the sons of Zebedee, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And in the high noon of your infinite mercy, you ask, "What do you want me to do for you?" Unrepentant, we muster the further audacity not to ask you, but to demand. Grant us to sit beside you in your glory. And when you gently warn that we don't know what we're asking, we are impudent enough to claim, we are able to drink the cup that you drink and to be baptized with the baptism with which you are baptized. And you are right, Lord, we do not know what we ask. For the cup is filled with the wine of servanthood, and the baptism is sacrifice, even to the point of suffering. And that service, that sacrifice, is your glory. We do not understand, but you do. And so you are patient. You tolerate our prideful indiscretions, our arrogant presumptions, and then you take up your teaching again, for it is plain that we do not yet understand what greatness resides in the choice to be the servant, what majesty abides in the choice to be the least. And forgive our slow reaming, God. Forgive our blustery confidence that erupts in speech when silence would be better, yet holds its tongue when one word could be decisive. And forgive our haughty swaggering that struts amidst the weak when kneeling would be better, yet bends the knee when one step could be forever. We ask your forgiveness, Lord, in the name of the one who came not to be served, but to serve. We ask forgiveness that by your great mercy we might find that we are able, despite and because of who we are, and in the silence of our hearts, let us lift up our private concerns, the aches of our hearts, for the people we know in need. And Lord, as we move on today, let us pray the prayer that your Son taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Morning. Today's reading comes from Mark 10, chapters 35 through 45. Then James and John, the son of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right hand, the other at your left, in your glory. You do not know what you are asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with? We can, they said. Jesus said to them, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be a servant, and whoever wants to be first must be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to be served, but to serve, and to give him his life in the ransom for many. May the Lord add blessing to this reading.
Good morning. This is going to work. We're going to make it work. feeling blessed. Pray with me if you will. Gracious and loving God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and open up these scriptures to us in new and dynamic ways. May the meditations of our hearts and the words from my mouth be acceptable to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, are certainly not having a thy will be done moment in today's scripture. They approach Jesus, as we've heard, and they say, you know, you're going to need a right-hand man, and you're going to need a left-hand man, and you know who would be good for these jobs? Us. Instead of asking what they can do for the kingdom, they tell Jesus what they want him to do. But hey, they're being proactive. Nobody else is asking. If there's going to be an uprising, if Jesus is taking over and claiming his throne, James and John want to be in the mix. Now, the timing of this request is interesting. Jesus is making his way to Jerusalem and therefore to the cross. We know where this story is going, but James and John don't. Thought about this. If this were a movie, if I were watching this in the theater, I'd be shouting at the screen, don't do it, don't go. We know how this is going to end. This is not going to end well. Jesus doesn't deny their request either. In fact, he starts talking about job expectations. You're going to have to drink from this cup. There's going to be this baptism. Are you ready for it? There's nothing wrong with ambition, as long as your heart is in the right place and the action is for the kingdom. To be ambitious in the way Jesus tells us requires sacrifice and humility. Throughout this 10th chapter of Mark, we have been hearing these stories in the gospel as Jesus encounters those who would seek easy answers as to how to enter the kingdom, and how to enter the life eternal. The disciples have heard what it takes to enter the kingdom. Give up your possessions. Become like a child. Stop striving. Become a slave to all. First will be last. Last will be first. Part of the reason these answers are challenging is that Jesus doesn't want people to necessarily focus on what's coming after. He wants to focus on what's happening now. The importance of now. So James and John, the work you will need to do is going to be hard. You think you've counted a lot of steps walking around Galilee? Keep counting. You think the crowds have been tough so far? Well, you're going to meet opposition everywhere you go. You'll be mocked and ridiculed, and in the case of James, you'll be martyred. But they still tell Jesus they can manage it. We have to recall, though, that the hardships they were thinking of may have been related more to jobs in the government. They were heading towards Jerusalem. They're thinking it's about to go down. It's time for the Jesus takeover. It's time for Jesus to come into his glory. Many people thought the Messiah would be a king, a new conqueror who would bring peace, ruling through military power, economic power, political power. And in case you didn't know or had forgotten, Caesar also claimed to be divine. So the connection between government and God, small g in the case of Caesar, was familiar to the Roman culture too. The disciples were therefore expecting some sort of earthly kingdom that would restore the nation's economic power and might while ridding them of the Romans. It took the cross for them to understand that Jesus was about something completely different. Now, hearing this story, it's hard for us to shake our own 21st century notions of self-promotion, but consider this. Most of us in this room have a high school diploma. Many of us have college degrees. A few of you probably have masters. There's a doctor in the house, or two or three. But how would we know? Nobody's walking around with their diploma on their hip or, you know, I got a wallet size. Nobody is walking around with their CV and their resume saying, hey, I've done this. Most people I work with don't even know I went to college, let alone what I studied or that I even graduated. So often we have to step forward and claim something that we feel we'd be good at or suitable for. We don't want to miss an opportunity if we think that that would be our purpose. So the disciples may seem a little foolish, but you can't blame them for behaving this way when we might consider it job hunting. If you have a forte, you want to offer your services. But here's the trick. We're talking about service in the kingdom of God, where there are no qualifications. You don't have to ask. To have a place in the kingdom, it's not about honor. Jesus spells that out. And to be great at this job, there's only one prerequisite. Jesus has told us exactly what the job requires. You want the job? Serve. Imitate Christ. He came to serve. He came to lift us up. So serve. Serve with humility. Serve with anonymity. Serve with no preconception of reward or recognition or sense of competition for honor. 50 years ago, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. delivered a sermon called The Drum Major Instinct, and in it he said, "You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and verb agree to serve. Serve because the kingdom calls you to serve. We're here to lift each other up. We are called to assist those who cannot help themselves, the outsiders, the refugees, the vulnerable, and the hungry." Now, talking about this place of honor with Jesus, this is a dangerous place, especially for James and John. It's to risk persecution, calamity, imprisonment, as I mentioned, death. When we claim our status as followers of Christ today, there's less of a chance of that. In some places of the earth, that still exists, though. I sometimes ask myself, how bold would I be if I lived in one of those parts in the world? To be great at this job requires sacrifice. We're fortunate, though, because here that sacrifice simply means sharing our gifts lavishly, the gifts of our efforts, our time, and prayer. We're blessed to live where we aren't persecuted for our faith. We don't necessarily have to sacrifice our livelihoods or our lives. Instead, we live in this abundant land where we share ourselves and our resources. That's becoming great. Which is why we should also be receptive to what other people can share in terms of their gifts and abilities. We can't judge what other people can share. I don't know what you can do or what you've accomplished. But because of my faith in Christ and the Holy Spirit, I can hope that all of you will become greater for the cause of Jesus than I can imagine. So we have to think about how we might help others achieve greatness. We can't bestow greatness on others any more than we can claim greatness for ourselves. True greatness is born out of humility and service, and true greatness almost never announces itself. Sometimes greatness looks strange, too. Sometimes greatness is found in the most unlikely of places. Sometimes it's found in the hood coming from a nest. You may have heard that this week, one of the great performers in the history of American television retired. Few characters have made as profound an impact on our culture as the ones he brought to life. And he made his mark in the most unlikely of places, public television. Now, when he was in his early 30s, there was this young puppeteer who was struggling through a show at a festival in Salt Lake City. The show was slowly going awry. But there was another puppeteer in the audience who saw through all of those challenges. And he went up to the first man after the show, approached him, and said, "I think you'd be right for a show I'm putting together. I have some characters I want to build. One's a tall, funny-looking bird, and the other is going to be this grouchy character who's going to live in a pile of trash in a gutter. Now, Carol Spinney couldn't possibly have known what Jim Henson's vision was going to create, or how long an educational TV puppet show would last. But over the course of 50 years, that's 50, Carol Spinney portrayed two of the most enduring characters on television, Oscar the Grouch and Big Bird. He operated the puppets and supplied the voices. Recently, the president of the Sesame Workshop, Jeffrey Dunn, was quoted as saying, "Big Bird has always been the biggest heart on Sesame Street. And that's Carol's gift to us." I think it's fair to say that Carol's view of the world and how we should treat each other has shaped and defined our organization. Wow. And think about Sesame Street. Sesame Street and Big Bird, it's an institution. Now, unlike Cookie Monster, who has an agenda, and Kermit the Frog, who's pretty sharp, Big Bird was portrayed as a six-year-old, a joyful soul with no guile and a pure heart. That was an acting choice by Mr. Spinney. The character was originally supposed to be a bumpkin, but instead he brought that spirit into homes. And we have to consider that a great accomplishment. Big Bird modeled behavior for children to be better friends, to share belongings, to share feelings, to be caring. He was a great teacher, helping children cope with loss and fear, and he was a big proponent of hugs. And he helped millions of children, including myself, and I defy anybody under the age of 50 to say that he didn't help them learn the alphabet. He also taught us about competition. One day, Big Bird wanted to have a race with his friend, Mr. Snuffleupagus. Everybody know Snuffy? But none of his other friends on Sesame Street would volunteer to judge the race and be there at the finish line because they all thought Snuffleupagus was a figment of Big Bird's imagination. But as luck would have it, there was this man standing out in front of Mr. Hooper's store who volunteered, said, "Okay, I'll help you." Big Bird was so excited, he went back to his nest and he told Mr. Snuffleupagus, "We can have our race." So they limbered up. They ran from the nest, they ran through the streets, and Big Bird beat Snuffleupagus, who was very slow, by a mile. He got to the finish line, and he was congratulated, cheered himself, he celebrated, and then he became concerned. And he told the man at the finish line, "I'm a little worried now. I'm concerned. I'm concerned that Mr. Snuffleupagus will be mad at me because I've won. I'm concerned my friend will be sad and embarrassed because he lost." But the gentleman at the finish line reassured Big Bird that what matters most is that you still care about each other. And that's exactly what you'd expect Mr. Rogers to say to Big Bird. Now, at the age of 84, it's hard to believe that Mr. Spinney has outlived Jim Henson by nearly 30 years. And he spent that entire time carrying out Henson's mission of developing young minds through education, programs, showing compassion, and being this global ambassador for the message of simply having a good heart. I'm going to paraphrase Mr. Spinney in his most recent interview where he said, "Jim Henson said that leaving the world a better place when he got here was basically it. I thought that that was a pretty good and decent thing to think. And because of all the hundreds of millions of children who have watched our show, I feel it probably is a little bit better than if Big Bird hadn't been here to share his suffering and his joy. And that's what I'd like to be my legacy." And what a legacy. Most of you probably would not be able to pick out Carol Spinney on the street. Many of you will probably forget his name by the time we get to coffee hour, but you'll always remember what he looked like in the costume, an 8-foot-tall canary suit. That's pretty great. How are we going to be great for the kingdom? How are we going to teach and reach out for the kingdom? How are we going to carry on a mission for the kingdom? Are we ready to do it without fanfare? Are we ready to do it with anonymity? Are we ready to do it with the most caring and loving hearts, with taking that kind of a risk? Maybe James and John didn't know what they were really asking. One thing is certain, though. They never doubted Jesus. In his song, Are You Ready?, Bob Dylan sang, Am I ready to lay, oh, my voice is perfect for this today. Am I ready to lay down my life for the brethren and to take up my cross? Have I surrendered to the will of God, or am I still acting like the boss? Am I ready? I hope I'm ready. It's not time to dwell on our own importance in the kingdom of God, but the importance of our faith. Jesus knows how important each one of us is. And that is absolutely great. Amen.